Dear participants, thank you for standing by. Welcome to DSM's conference call. Throughout today's presentation, all participants will be in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To register for questions, you may dial star one at any time. If any participant has difficulty in hearing the conference, please press 00 on your push-button phone. Now I would like to turn the call over to Stephen Hufton. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much, Monique. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this conference call on DSM's results for the first 9 months of 2017, which we published earlier this morning. With me is Geraldine Matchett, our CFO, and a member of our managing board. Now, she will elaborate on the results, and after that, of course, as usual, is available to answer your questions. We have until 8:30 this morning. As a reminder, our presentation today can contain forward-looking statements, and in that regard, I need to point you to our disclaimer regarding forward-looking statements as published on our website and in our press releases. That's the formalities. Now I'd like to hand the call over to Geraldine. Please, Geraldine, go ahead.
Thank you, Steve. Good morning, everyone, and welcome from my side as well. And before we get started with the question and answer session, I'd like to briefly highlight some of the key points from our announcement this morning. In short, we're pleased to report that we continued our very good momentum with yet another strong quarter. All businesses delivered above market growth in Q3, resulting in an 8% organic growth year to date, of which 7% volume growth. Our adjusted EBITDA increased 15% versus the first 9 months of the year, driven by nutrition and by materials. Our return on capital employed was up 170 basis points and closed at 12.3%, while our adjusted net profit increased 29% to 504 million. And if I include the gain on the disposal of our shares in Patheon of 1.25 billion, the total net profit ended at 1.6 billion year to date. Now, looking forward, and in line with our communications during our recent Investor Day that took place in September, these results feed into our confidence regarding our outlook for 2017. This outlook, which we increased in the middle of the year and is ahead of our original target set in our strategy, remains unchanged despite slightly less favorable currency developments with, and I quote from the press release, an EBITDA growth for the year slightly up from high single digit to double digit and a ROCE growth of more than 100 basis points. Now, moving more specifically to the business developments and starting with nutrition. Nutrition continued to deliver a strong performance with organic growth rates in all of our businesses outpacing their respective markets. Animal nutrition did very well, in fact had an exceptionally strong third quarter due to a number of factors including the rebound in the meat exports from Brazil as well as relatively easy comparative figures from last year. We also maintained our strong momentum in human nutrition with iHealth, our B2C business, continuing to grow double digit, with early life nutrition delivering a strong performance, and with above-market growth in multivitamins and omega-3s, amongst others. Overall, the organic growth for nutrition reached 7% for the first 9 months of the year, mainly driven by volumes up 6%, and the adjusted EBITDA was up 13%, supported, of course, by the strong volume growth, as well as the efficiency and cost improvement programs. Finally, in terms of the EBITDA margin year-to-date, nutrition reached 18.9% versus 18% over the same period last year, well within the expected range of 18 to 20%. Turning to materials, sadly, we had to report a tragic accident at our Resins Augusta site in Georgia, USA, on the 27th of September, where a contractor lost his life. This was, again, this again stresses that in all of our activities, our utmost priority has to remain the safety and the health of our employees and our contractors worldwide. Our thoughts are with those affected, their families, and their loved ones. Looking at the business performance, all our businesses in material delivered strong growth, in particular in specialties, resulting in an 8% volume growth and a 13% organic growth in the first 9 months, well ahead of our initial strategic targets. This strong growth, as well as The group-wide cost savings and efficiency programs resulted in an adjusted EBITDA increase of 12% for the 9 months and a strong adjusted EBITDA margin of 17.3% versus 17.6% in prior, when, if you remember, we still benefited fully from the low input cost environment. This robust performance demonstrates the improvements achieved in the quality of the returns of our materials businesses over recent years. And finally, looking at some of our key financials and our cash generation, our operating cash flow amounted to $619 million for the first 9 months, slightly below the comparative period in 2016 due to a higher absolute working capital, in line, of course, with the higher sales. Looking at the ratios, however, the total working capital as a percentage of sales remains stable at 19.1%, with actually a solid improvement in the operating working capital to sales ratio. As for our net debt, we closed at $703 million compared to just over $2 billion in September 2016. This decrease is mainly due to the proceeds from the sale of our Patheon shares recorded in this quarter, so in Q3, for a total of $1,477 million, with another $58 million to come in Q4, so in total over 1.5 billion euros. And with that, I think we'll open up the floor for questions. Operator?
Lines are now open for questions. To ask a question, press star 1 on your phone. So star 1 for questions or remarks. Mr. Bart Meijer from Reuters, your line is open.
Thank you. Good morning, thank you for your time. In September, Mr. Sijbesma said that the proceeds of the sale of Patheon also made new acquisitions again a possibility. And I was wondering whether you could tell us anything more on that. Can you maybe elaborate a bit on where the priorities are when you are looking at possible acquisitions, in what state of the process you are, if we can expect anything? Thank you.
Okay. So indeed, as I just mentioned in my comments, we have received the proceeds as we speak pretty much, so it's very fresh. It's just come in. Now, our focus and our priority remains at this stage, without any question, operational and financial performance, delivering for this year and also delivering the targets that we've set for ourselves in the 3-year strategic period for 2018 as well. So priority is focus. As you know, we've launched all sorts of improvement and cost efficiency programs, which while they're well on track, still need to be completed and anchored in the organization. So this is really what is keeping us busy primarily. Now, on the back of being ahead of target, I have to say in all our financials, but also in terms of our ambitions within the 3-year strategy plan, what we have done is bring forward our strategic review process that we are effectively kicking off pretty much as we speak, and with the ambition of being able to share some outcomes of that review process before the summer next year. And at that stage, we'll be a much better point to address some of the questions that you're just raising now.
Okay, and if you say before the summer, the publication of the first quarter results would be a natural moment?
Honestly, at this stage, the date has not been firmed up, but it will be sometime before the summer next year. So we'll keep you posted once a date has been established.
But anything on maybe regions or activities where acquisitions would be helpful?
Well, the review process is something that we do very thoroughly. There's a strong history in DSM that these strategic reviews are all-inclusive. This will be no exception. We will be doing deep dives in all of our businesses. If you remember, at our Capital Markets Day in September, we gave a lot of insights already into what are the growth drivers behind our businesses, what are the end market dynamics, what's the innovation pipeline that's coming. These are all the kind of things that we're going to be continuing to do our homework on, and that will lead to, conclusions. But right now it's really too early to provide conclusions we haven't yet drawn.
Thank you.
Andrew Noel from Bloomberg, go ahead, please.
Good morning, Geraldine. My first question is if Fico was around, he'd probably be rolling his eyes on this one. But
so you're going to try it.
Well, given what's happening with Clariant and, you know, Fika's obviously involved in Unilever, I'm just wondering how you see the old topic of separating plastics. Do you see that as something that's dead and buried? You've been there and done that. Or is it a file that's sort of on the desk that you'll tackle at some point? You know, because we're seeing whitetail behave very differently to your own third point. That's the first question. Just to follow up on the last one, you know, it sounds like the flavour of the review will be a little bit more than targets innovation. It'll touch on some, you know, strategic structural stuff, perhaps, if you could provide some thoughts on that. And on eye health, you've always trodden very carefully with this one, because it's sort of, I know it's on the fringes of your customers, but double-digit growth. I just wondered, is there any change in the way you're thinking about that business, you know, in terms of scale? And if I may, the last one, caprolactam, the chemical invest, I looked right down in your report and it seems to be doing really well. It looks like it's at the top of the cycle. Is there some incentive to exit now rather than head into the next cycle phase? I suspect, you know, if CVC wanted to do something with that business, you wouldn't want to match the investment needed. So there's the questions. Thank you.
Okay. Well, to be honest, your first two questions, the answer is similar to what I've just said earlier. The company has a really good history of doing very thorough strategic reviews. We always have. And as you know, DSM can be faulted for not having transformed over the years. So we will continue to do this and take it seriously. So nothing is off the table, but at the same time, if you look at the dynamic of our businesses, et cetera, we're also looking very much to grow the business. The good momentum year-to-date, of course, is very encouraging, and we feel that a lot of the good work that's been done, particularly, you know, in the last couple of years, is clearly paying off. We're very happy, of course, with our Q3 and our year-to-date results, and we're very happy that we are ahead of our three-year plan ambitions. We are in some ways a luxury position of accelerating our strategic review. So that's very much the flavor of why we're doing it now, and it makes a lot of sense. Now, love your question on eye health. It's our B2C business, as you correctly said, and there what we're seeing, if you remember, it was primarily a U.S. Play. It came in through an acquisition via Martech originally, but what we're seeing now is that we're taking it overseas, and we're effectively positioning products, both we're looking at the European markets and very excitingly in the China space, where there's a huge demand for trustworthy supplements. The market dynamics are very interesting because it's not only in store, it's also a lot of e-retailing going on. So what we're seeing is that the business dynamic behind iHealth are both a continued very successful portfolio of brands within the U.S. We have the leading probiotic brand called Culturelle, which, by the way, does not step on anybody's toes. We are very much well positioned there. And we are leveraging this great portfolio of brands now overseas. So that's what's behind the double-digit growth. And for caprolactam, indeed, sorry that it's a bit buried, but indeed it's an associate now. So remember, we have 35% of the joint venture with CVC. But you correctly noted that we are seeing this quarter an improvement in the markets. Now, I would say that it's early days to call that top of the cycle. We're certainly, which I think is a term that you've mentioned, there's an improvement, which is good. Now we'll have to see whether that confirms itself in the coming months and quarters. Now the good news is that we're fully aligned with our partner CVC, the aim is to build those businesses and then at some point they will exit and so will we when we feel the valuation is it the right level.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Next question, Edwin van der Schoot, De Telegraaf. Go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning. Two questions. If I've did my math correctly, then I'd say that in the third quarter of 2017, both the sales and EBITDA growth have slowed down a little bit, because I'd say in the first half year, the sales growth would be somewhat over 11%, and the EBITDA about above 16, and then for the Q3, it would be 7 and 13 respectively. Are those numbers somewhat correct, and can you explain them to me, what has been the major factor in a slowdown, in a slight slowdown of the growth in the third quarter? The other question I have is, a couple of weeks ago, I guess, I read a report by an ABN AMRO analyst commenting that DSM would be a prime takeover target as soon as the Patheon proceeds would be received. I was wondering if you would look at that the same way from within DSM, and if there's some sense of how do you say that, discomfort with the fact that you have so much cash in at the moment, and there's so much, for instance, activist activity going on. So those are my two questions.
Okay, thank you. So firstly, on Q3, I think I need to clarify things here. By the way, if you look at the second page of the press release, you see the Q3 highlights, so you don't have to do the math. It makes it easier. So here, I would actually say that Q3 has been a very strong quarter from a growth point of view. Now, if you look at overall sales, what you have is a negative 3% on foreign exchange. That is really the effect of the weakening of the dollar. But if you look at organic growth, we actually had a 10% organic growth in Q3, whereas the year-to-date number is 8%. So we saw an acceleration in the third quarter. And the great news is that was coming from all the businesses. We had a real step up in animal nutrition. The growth there was 10% organic growth, of which 14% volume growth, so very strong dynamics in animal nutrition. We had 9% in human nutrition, which is also very high. And all of our materials businesses performed well, and there we're seeing a 9% volume growth in Q3. So I have to say it's actually pretty much the reverse. Q3 is continuing and accelerating the growth momentum. So all is good there. Now, as for the fact that we have liquidity on the balance sheet, now, firstly, of course, this is brand new, right? It's just come in. So it's not as if it's been sitting there for a very long time. Maybe a different picture. But we anyway look at it quite differently, and that is that we are a growth company. And our main purpose is to deploy capital to grow businesses which bring value to shareholders. So for us, this is very much an opportunity to do our homework and see where else and how can we continue to accelerate these great businesses and continue to generate value. So that's the mindset that we're going, that we are perceiving the situation. And it feeds into the fact that we are ahead of our targets on our strategy and that we're now doing the strategic review.
Are there any more questions out there?
Next question, Sanchiri Banerjee, Polymer Update. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Geraldine. This is Sanchari. So my first question would be, in the third quarter of 2017, the net sales by origin and the net sales for destination for India have been 1% and 2% respectively, which is very low as compared to the other countries. And on the other hand, DSM has thrown its weight behind China's newfound preference for clean energy vehicles and digital connectivity. So what are your views with regards to the Indian government's push for electric vehicles from 2030? And how is this going to benefit DSM?
Oh, thank you for an excellent question. It's nice to be talking about India. This is a geography that is full of excitement for us because it plays exactly to the strengths of DSM. So when we're talking to the, you know, when we're looking at electrification of cars, the substitution of materials is a very important factor. And of course, a lot of our portfolio of materials is exactly providing solutions for car manufacturers. And it links as well to the connectivity, because as cars become electric, they're also much more connected. And we're very much into materials around all the connectors. And we're already in smartphones and that types of things. So this is a trend which we welcome, of course, in India as well as in other geographies. Now, another very important sector is solar. We have in our emerging business areas some materials and some solutions to make solar panels more efficient, more durable. In fact, we have a solar field test in Pune, where we're testing various coatings and things, and we've invested in a business to make backsheets that are fluor-free and much more durable. So solar is also something where we know that India is positioning itself strongly and that we feel very, very excited about. And on the nutrition side, we are also very present, both in terms of our animal nutrition, but also our human nutrition offering in this very large country. So we are aiming and very enthusiastic about growing our business with and for India.
All right. I have one more question related to India, which you would like, I guess. So the overall sales growth is 2136, which is a rise of 7%. So can you please briefly comment on the contribution of the engineering plastics segment in percentage and also its performance in India over the last 9 months? And what do the next quarter year look like?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you're getting very granular here, I'm afraid. If you would like some insights into the granularity of our business in India. Now, to be fair, engineering plastics has been one of our most early established business in India. We've been serving the automotive industry, amongst others, by the way, in the Pune area, which is why I went to see the site recently there, that happened to win, but this is anecdotal, our global SHE Award within the whole of the company, which is our health and safety award. So very high standard operations in India. But the exact growth rates and all of that, I think I would refer you back to our investor relations team if you really would like those detailed information.
All right. So the next question would be, at the end of 9 months, what risks and opportunities have been identified by you with regards to DSM's fourth quarter performance?
Sorry, can you rephrase your question? I didn't understand that.
At the end of the 9 months, in the third quarter of 2017, what are the risks and opportunities that you have identified with regards to DSM's fourth quarter performance?
Okay, so I think in terms of the outlook, so we've kept it unchanged. So at the half year, we increased it. So we started the year a bit lower. The half year, we increased, and we've kept our outlook unchanged, despite the fact that foreign exchange has gone a little bit in the wrong direction for us, particularly the weakening of the dollar versus the euro. We're seeing good momentum in our businesses, so no concerns there, but we have the usual seasonality and timing of events that happen in a company. So really nothing very much to highlight, and that is why we're confident and comfortable with reaffirming our outlook for the full year despite that FX headwind.
So what would be the key areas of focus for the coming quarters?
The areas of focus I referred to the strategic review. I think first and foremost, our area of focus is basically operational and financial performance. But that is, of course, something that we've been working on relentlessly in the last quarters. That will continue. And the only thing that will be added is, of course, now this strategic review that we've been kicking off, where we aim to share the outcomes before the summer next year.
Just with a view to time, if there are any other questions, and I don't mean to be rude, but if there are any other questions, please, now's your chance to ask them. And if you have any more detailed questions from Polymer Update, please feel free to get in touch with us at Media Relations, and we will get back to you on those, okay?
Sure. Thank you so much.
Any other questions, then, please, and now's your chance.
Yeah. No, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next question, Hans Verbraken, Financiële Dagblad. Go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning, Geraldine. I have a question about the reorganization measures. What is the interim result now at the moment, at the end of 2017, at which amount of money you will be, because you said we try to reach about 250-300 million euro reorganization saldo or result?
Yes, good morning. Absolutely. So there, I can reiterate the figures that we provided at the half year. So nothing has changed. So we're fully on track. By the end of this year, we will have a run rate of 190 million resulting from these cost savings and efficiency programs. And we have put in motion the necessary programs and actions, et cetera, to reach the 250 million for the full program. That is our current status, and you know, we provide updates on this broadly every 6 months.
So you are now at the level of 190 million?
We will be at 190 million run rate by the end of the year. Yeah, that's correct.
But it's not 300 million because you mentioned 250-300 million.
Yeah, that is correct. So at this point, we know that we have all the actions in place to secure the 250. Now, we will continue to attempt to add to that and see whether by the end of 2018, we will then have a final figure of what is the run rate end of 18 within that range of 250-300. But it's a bit too early to provide any details on that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Last question, Mr. Bart Koster, ABM Financial News. Go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for your availability. I've got two questions, if I may. I dropped in a bit later, so maybe these questions have been asked already. But anyway, I was just wondering how you will proceed with your joint venture and associates. As I understand, there are two left. Are you still on track on divesting them? And the second question is, you talked about using your liquidity position for investing in growth. Can you be a bit more specific about it, and especially about your acquisition pipeline? Thank you.
Yes, good morning. So we did indeed cover some of this earlier, so I'll give a quick answer.
Okay.
That was particularly the use of liquidity for growth.
Mm-hmm.
So here, as indicated, currently our main focus is to keep on driving financial and operational performance. But given the fact that we are ahead of targets on our current strategic period in pretty much every respect, we've decided to bring forward the strategic review that is a regular process within the company, but we're bringing it forward and with a view to be able to share some outcomes of that process by summer next year. So that at that time, of course, we will be able to share a lot more, but it's too early to dive in at this point. And then on the associates, you're absolutely right, and that's in the press release. We still have two key associates. We have Chemica and the 35% joint ventures with CVC. We mentioned earlier that indeed Q3 was a good quarter. We're seeing an uptick in the Capro market. Too early to call it top of cycle, which was a term used by someone. We don't see it that way, but certainly a good development in Q3 with a view that at the right moment we will exit. And the other one is our DSP, so DSM Sinochem, which is in anti-infectives. And there the business is going well. It's always, in terms of size, still could benefit from growing in scale a little bit more because that gives us then more optionality into how to monetize it. But it remains, to your question, the intention is to monetize the participations in due course.
And it's both Chemical Invest and Sinochem.
That's correct, yeah. DSG.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much indeed. With an eye on the clock, I think we'll have to close the Q&A there. Geraldine, do you have any final remarks you'd like to make?
Thanks, Steve. First of all, I would like to thank you all for your time because we realize it is a very busy earnings morning today. In short, we continue our very good performance and positive momentum in 2017, with Q3 being yet another strong quarter supported by all of our businesses. And we confirm that our 2017 outlook, despite the slightly less favorable exchange rate, remains unchanged. And with this, I wish you a good day.
Thanks very much indeed, Geraldine, and thanks to all of you. This concludes our conference call for today. Thank you very much again, and wishing you all a good day. Goodbye.